think you're on, son.
Yeah, you are now.
So, well, let me say it's a blessing to be here this morning. I certainly did not come to preach. I got up so tired this morning. I was kind of excited when Brother Doug was going to preach because he said he was tired than I was. He wasn't expecting to preach, but I did wake up with a thought on my heart this morning. But the more I thought about it, it's not a camp meeting message. And it wasn't what I'd want to preach in a camp meeting because it's not one you do a lot of shouting about. But I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to be faithful to Him. Appreciate Brother Doug Bearden. And Brother Doug, I've known him a long time. I was a lot smaller in stature when I got acquainted with him. And he didn't have gray hair when I got acquainted with him. And Brother Melvin, I kid Brother Melvin, I tell him he's a pain no matter where he's at. And I appreciate the privilege to be here with you precious folks. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 14, I want to read a few verses. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning to see the light of a new day. We know, Father, that it wasn't chance or accident or luck that we woke up this morning, but it was because of your great mercy and your grace and kindness that you woke us up, Father, to live another day on your earth, to breathe your air, to walk on your dirt, to fellowship with your people, Lord, and enjoy you and serve you again. Father, we pray now. We thank you for the two powerful messages. We thank you for the good word of God you've already sent us. Father, we thank you for the precious singing that we've enjoyed here in this meeting and the fellowship of your people. Thank you for Brother Melvin. Thank you for Brother Doug. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bring to my mind the scriptures, the thoughts, the illustrations you'd have me to use. Father, I want to be a blessing to your name. I want to be a help and encouragement to your people. I want to do the will of God. Lord, help me today. I need you, oh God. Lord, I want to do your will. I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to grieve him or quench him in any way, but to be led by him and just controlled by him and do his will. Thank you again for this privilege now. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord saved me this past August of 40 years ago. I've been saved for 40 years, and I don't know everything, a whole lot that's going on in the church world, I don't know, but I know a little bit about the church world that I'm familiar with. And I remember back in the, seemed like in the 60s and 70s, the churches that I knew about went through a time when it seemed like that we wanted to be as strict as we could possibly be. We felt like that would bring revival. And if we could be just, I guess a lot of churches even went what you would call today legalistic, thinking that that would bring the power of God and bring the presence of God and bring revival. But be honest with you, folk, I don't know too many churches during that time that had real revivals that I've read about that happened in the early part of this country or happened in Wales or in Ireland or in Scotland and London. What I've read about, I don't believe it come about because of that. And then it seems like they've been a shift to the other extreme. It seems like the church world has gone from one extreme to the other, gone from legalism to complete compromise where anything goes and nothing's a sin. Amen. And I tell you, I don't see that bringing revival either. I believe that, like my father-in-law, Brother Horace Wilson, tried to teach me when the Lord called me to preach and helped me as a young preacher, that we had to be balanced in the Christian life. I believe we need to be balanced. I believe that there's a balance in the Christian life, and we need to find it, we need to follow it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today and just read a few verses here. In Romans 14, it said, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day another above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block and occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, as I was studying this and preparing for this message, I was amazed about something that I found. You know, Paul, in different books of the Bible, had quite a bit to say about a lot of subjects. In 1 Corinthians, when he wanted to talk about the subject of love, he took the first 13 verses there in that 13th chapter, and he dealt with the subject of love. And certainly love is a powerful subject in the Word of God. And then there's other places I found where that he would take a few verses and he would deal with, well, when he dealt with human government there in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, we see basically seven verses that he used to deal with our responsibility to human government. But this is a thought I want to give you by way of introduction. And that is that when Paul wanted us to know how we is to get along with one another and how we is to treat one another, he used the entire 14th chapter of the book of Romans and half of the chapter of the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, beloved, if Paul took 35 verses to say something about a subject, don't you think that we ought to really look at it and we ought to think about it? Just look at the subject of love, as I've already said. 13 verses on the subject of love, 35 verses on how we ought to treat one another. Well, you say, well, preacher, why in the world would Paul do that? Because he knew how us Baptists was going to get along. Amen. He knew about us Baptists. He knew how we was going to need a whole lot of scriptures to straighten us out and tell us how to get along with one another. Beloved, I say to you today that it breaks my heart. Why are you preaching this, preacher? Because my heart's broken about the way a lot of churches are today. How many churches do you hear about that's splitting today? We was riding down the road, and Brother Hart said, well, that church right there got the split off of so-and-so and the split off another church. Those two splits joined up at that church. A few weeks ago, we heard about another church in the area that split, and then three, four, or five preachers that left because of health reasons, because the church was just sick of them, or the deacons was sick of them. And, Brother, I don't know about you, but it seemed like every way we turn, we're hearing about trouble in churches. It ought not to be. On the way down to pick up the preachers, I was listening, and this fella come on the radio and said he had wrote a new song, and I wondered what was his new song. Now, it wasn't a gospel station, I got to confess to you. I was just trying to catch up on some sports. Now, you forgive me, I just like sports. I'm going to tell you up front, you can call me Carl if you want to. I like football. The more they bust one another, the better I like it. Amen. On Sunday nights, when I've had a rough day at church, I like to either watch a good football game and try to get them to kill one another out there, or watch bull riding. I just love bull riding on Sunday night. I just relieve stress. When I think about people that's giving me problems riding them bulls, I just give them a name and say, buck them off, step on them. Well, I'm just going to confess to you, I'm not a super duper, super spiritual dude. If you think I'm super spiritual, I'm not, But anyway, this fellow wrote a song about churches, and he said that his daddy was a coach in a church basketball league and softball league, and said there's more fist fights and knife fights and more going on than that. And I know that ain't right, beloved. And I know we don't have to have that. But we're not talking about just what goes on in a church softball league. I'm talking about what goes on inside the four walls of the local assembly, brother. That's what ought to concern us. Now there's diversity. Everybody's not going to be just alike. But you know what we've done? We've used diversity, or people being different, as an opportunity for our unredeemed flesh to judge them and condemn them and try to make them to conform to us. Brother, I don't want my church to conform to me. If my church conforms to me, I've failed. I want them to conform to Jesus Christ. Brother, they don't need to look like me. We don't need a world full of Ricky Bices. We need a world of people that look like Jesus Christ. I want my people to look like Him and conform to Him and not to me. Brother, if everybody conformed to me, everybody'd watch John Wayne Westerns, everybody'd be overweight, and everybody'd like Georgia Bulldogs. So you see, you don't need to be like me. You need to be like Jesus, praise God. Amen. Then you can eat what you want to and watch whatever cowboy picture you want. Yeah, you say, preacher, you watch them worldly things. I sure do, brother. I like it when they get down in the trenches and they fixing to pull a gun. And I say, old John's going to shoot. I done seen it 15 times. You say, what do you watch it for? Because it relieves stress. I like it. He was a man. He was a man's man. I'm just sorry. I know some of you super spiritual folks wouldn't dare. You wouldn't watch it. That's all right. You give me your old Westerns, I'll watch them. I don't like this new junk I got. But I like that old stuff. Amen. When a man was a man, he kept his word and done what he said to. But I got to get back on the message. I'm trying to get through the introduction. All right, let's look here in verse number 1. We know there's a problem. There's so much fussing and fighting and weak and strong and all of that going on. The Bible said, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You know something else I learned about reading this scripture here? I learned that the weak thought they were strong, and then the strong thought they were strong. So they'd fuss. The weak and the strong was always fussing in the church. There were differences there in the church. But in verse 1, God commands us. Now, I'm not talking about sinful issues. I want you to understand that up front. We're not talking about questionable, sinful, doctrinal issues. That's not the point, beloved. We're not preaching about that. That's not the issue here. Beloved, he said, him that is weak in the faith. So all those here in Romans 14 were born again, blood washed, baptized in the Spirit, Holy Ghost believers, but some of them was weak, and some was strong, some was mature, and some was immature, and they was fussing and fighting. And he spent 35 verses trying to straighten them out. But number 1, God commands us to receive one another. Brother, if you're blood washed, born to the Spirit of God, I am to receive you in the faith. That's what the Bible said. I'm to receive you. Do you know what that word receive means? It means to accept Him willingly and lovingly. We'd accept one another willingly and lovingly. Now, beloved, he said not to doubtful disputations. That means without passing judgment or criticizing or arguing over their weaknesses. Now, I don't know what your weaknesses are. I didn't confess some of mine. You know, people just say, why don't you keep that to yourself and people think you're more spiritual than you are? Because I don't want them to think I'm more spiritual. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Beloved, I am what I am, and I hide it. If I could hide it, I'd weigh 165 pounds, but I can't hide it. It don't do no good to try to hide it, brother. But I tell you what's wrong in our churches. I believe why we're not having old-fashioned Holy Ghost revivals and the power of God. We've got people that look like they as clean as they can be and as separated as they can be, but their hearts ain't right with God. They don't love one another. Oh, they'll get up and say they love one another, but they'll love one another till they find something to disagree about. Brother, I tell you, it's a disgrace that we got to have, everybody's got to meet your convictions and come up to hell to your standards before you'll fellowship with it. I read in this Bible that Jesus even ate with sinners. Amen. Way we treat some of the sinners that come to our churches, no wonder they don't come back. Amen? Brother, the Bible said receive them. He said here, receive them, but not to doubtful disputation. Some people look to find fault. Brother, we live in a day when people look to find something wrong. It doesn't matter. You can just see it. There's some people. It doesn't matter how good a meeting you have. It doesn't matter how many get saved. Brother, it's like that fella that had a bird dog. It could walk on the water. That pastor had him a bird dog. It could walk on the water. And he was so excited about it. He had a deacon that complained about everything. He carried him bird hunting with him one day and said, boy, I got him now. And he killed a bunch of them birds or ducks or whatever it was. And that dog walked on across the water and picked them up. Walked back, and that old disgruntled deacon said, huh, said he can't swim, can he? Well, that's about what we face in the day we're living in, brother. There's some people it don't matter how much you preach, how much you cry, how much you scream, how much you sweat, they're going to find something wrong. It's either too hot in the church or it's too cold. The service was too short or it was too long. Or so-and-so sang a special and I hadn't sang in 4 weeks. What's the matter? You don't like me anymore? And all kind of stuff. But God said, receive them. He said, receive them. Him that is weak in the faith, weak in the faith. Not super spiritual, super duper Christians. Weak in the faith. Hey, we got some in our congregations that are weak in the faith. We're still to love them. And not with a limited love either. I wrote that down here. You know, we love people, or people love with a limited love. I've had people say, oh, preacher, I love you. Yeah, but the first little thing I got on their case, they're gone. They don't love me anymore. They're gone. And beloved, that breaks my heart. That's sad, beloved, that people will, I tell you, the limited love will never bring revival. And that's what we're up against in our day. We love each other till we find some little bitty thing to disagree about. Some little difference to disagree about. Beloved, let me say this right here. He said, well, let me just read a couple of verses. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Well, you got the meat eater and you got the vegetarian there in that verse number 2. Well, what are you? I'm both, praise God. When I'm eating meat, I'm eating meat. When I'm getting vegetables, I'll eat all vegetables I can get. Amen. I try to eat both. But you got a crowd in the church, he said, that some of them eat meat, and some of them wouldn't eat meat, and some of them would eat vegetables, and they wouldn't eat meat. Paul had to pastor that crowd. Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. You got that crowd in your church. You can't please them for nothing. So that's what he said there. And look at verse 3. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. You know, you got to have a lot of patience if you're going to pastor and stay there for a while. I've got the best church I know in the whole wide world. A wonderful church. But I've got a few members that need to grow some more. I tell you, I've watched some of my people, bless their hearts. And when the choir sings their special song, boy, they're just smiling. They hollering, amen, and they up a little, you know. But you let the choir sing a song that they don't 100% agree with. They just... You know what I do? I just enjoy it all. Amen. If it's not against the Bible, I enjoy it all. It may not be just like what I growed up on. It may not be just like what I like. But brother, if it's not against the Bible, I just enjoy it. I tell you, 1 week I got called. Now, they're not there anymore. Bless their hearts. I wish they'd stayed with me. I really do. I'd be glad to try to pastor them. But I had one man call me a legalist in 1 week, and another told me I was spiritual. Which way are you going? You don't know which way to go. Bless your hearts, both of them wound up and left the church. You know, you got to watch these folks that go to extreme. Give me a good old balanced member that's in there, faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and loves God. But brother, he said in verse 3, don't despise with contempt. Don't despise your brother and sister in Christ. There's a lot of that going on. Brother, I tell you, if we could open our hearts in church, I wonder what we'd see. I wonder if we'd see jealousy. I wonder if we'd see condemnation. I wonder if we'd see people that thought they were super spiritual and people that were better than everybody else and people that had condescending thoughts and people that had judgmental thoughts. I believe, brother, the Holy Ghost has been grieved by a lot of His people, and He's not going to feel welcome in a lot of His churches because of His own people. But He said in verse number 4, I want to say here in verse number 4 that the Lord sustains each believer. You know, I'm glad the Lord loves people that I don't agree with. Amen. Amen. I heard a great preacher say that a long time ago, and I thought on that quite a bit. God blesses people I don't agree with. Amen. I'm glad He does, because I don't agree with me all the time. I guess you preachers agree with everything you do, but I don't agree with everything I do. Sometimes I look in the mirror, and if it wasn't a sin to cuss, I'd cuss myself out. I just about get close to it. I say, you sorry, low down, stinking, good for nothing. What did you say that for? What did you think that for? Or what did you do that for? I've told myself, I'd say, self, I'd cuss you out if it wasn't a sin to cuss. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Now, I know y'all ain't never done that. Brother, I've done that. I've done some goofy things. I've said some things I ought not. I've said some things in the flesh. I got in the flesh at church last night, Brother Doug. I did. I preached and we stood around and talked. And before I knowed it, I done said something with my mouth about somebody I ought not to say. I just raised my hand and said, God, here I am. I ain't even got out of church and I done sinned. Forgive me, Lord. Y'all sure y'all want to listen to me? The Lord sustains each believer. God loves His children. Now, some liberated believers are self-centered and loose living, and they're sinful in that. But some legalists are so rigid and so self-righteous and so judgmental that they won't have nothing to do with nobody. They don't want anybody. Brother, I believe there has to be a balance in the Christian life. We need standards in our life. Certainly we do. And we need convictions. But we need Holy Ghost love for one another. Here in verse number 5 of this scripture tells us that God, or the Lord, is sovereign to each believer. He said here, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. What does that say? Well, it says to meet the Lord's sovereign to each believer. Many years ago, Brother Darrell Carter, I was his pastor and he died. And I went to the airport to pick up Brother Tom Hayes. He wanted to come to the funeral And I don't remember exactly what I asked Brother Tom, but I've never forgot what his answer was. I asked him something about all of his traveling, I believe it was, and him being gone all the time, and about how that affected his wife and his home and everything. Something to that effect. I don't remember exactly what I asked him, but I remember his answer. He said, son, said, I want to tell you something. He said, a long time ago, me and my wife, I told her, said, If you let God be God to me and you won't play God in my life, I'll let God be you and I won't try to play God in your life. And I believe what we've got in our churches, we got a lot of members trying to play God in other people's lives. Amen. That's right, beloved. I have people come to me and they find faults with some of the other members. And they don't see any of the faults in their life. They find fault. They want to criticize. They want to cut down. And brother, we don't need to do that. If somebody's in sin, yes, we need to nail sin. But I'm going to about, it don't matter how you tie your shoes around me. I ain't going to worry about how you tie your shoes. I can remember a day when they preached against cowboy boots. They preached against short sleeve shirts back in the 60s. I remember some of them saying you wasn't spiritual if you had on short sleeve. I tell you, I don't believe God cares about short sleeve shirts. Amen. Amen. I'm going to wear them. Brother, the Lord sustains each believer. And then let me hurry on. But here in verse In verses 5 through 9, the Lord is sovereign to each believer. We should live to please the Lord. Verse 7 said, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Some people have the attitude, well, bless God, I'll do what I want to do, and I don't care what anybody else does. You better care what your brothers and sisters do in Christ. You better love one another, brother. We need one another. I need the fellowship of other preachers. That's why I come to the Monday morning preachers meeting. That's why I wanted to come down to this camp meeting. I need your fellowship. I'm stronger with God's people. I'm blessed when I'm with God's people. I'm helped with them when I'm with God's people. I need the people of God. I tell you, I'd backslide in 2 weeks if I didn't have the church. Say, wouldn't you read your Bible and pray? Yeah, I'd read my Bible and pray. But if I didn't have that local assembly to come together with the power of the Holy Spirit coming in that local assembly and flowing from breast to breast, I'd backslide. Amen. You say, well, you preacher, if you quit watching all them Westerns, you wouldn't backslide. Well, maybe you got something there. You may have something there. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that people will put their convictions above the Bible. Why do you think churches split? Why, most churches, if you sat down with church problems, the Bible, they'd go right down the Bible, believe in the doctrines of the Bible. But you know what they'll split over? They'll split over their convictions. They'll split over what they like. They'll split over what they don't like. They'll split over different things, and most of them are not that important. I had a man get out of my choir one Sunday, and I know something's wrong with him. Looked like he is mad. I just went and saw him that Sunday afternoon. You know what was bothering him? So help me with my hand on Bible, I'm telling you the truth. My son was a song leader. My son did not shave that Saturday night. I asked him, he said, well, Daddy, I was out till midnight and I was tired. I slept, overslept. I was late. I didn't want to be late for church. I jumped up and grabbed and put clothes on and come on to Sunday school. Now, I'm telling you, he didn't. And I don't have nothing wrong with a beard. You can say what you want to. Jesus had a beard. But he'd had about 2 days' growth. But the only thing about it, he had white hair and a red beard. And it stuck out. And so help me with my hand on my Bible. That man got out of the choir because he said, that's worldly. I said, well, what about my Sunday school teacher? He's got a beard. Well, but that's different. You know, he finally left the church. He finally left the church. He said, we don't have enough business meetings. We don't have a conference around our church. We just have men's meetings 2 or 3 times a year if we need them. I'm not a dictator. I hope you don't get that idea. I'm not a dictator. I'm not. But brother, I want to tell you, he sat out there and swelled up like an old bullfrog, mad about that. I tell you, I don't believe he is right with God. Somebody.